Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about helping youth live out their unique vocation.
We spent the last few months of the podcast working back through the seven practices of healthy youth ministry with various practitioners. And it's been important for us to have people other than Mark and I talking about the seven practices. And we hope that's been beneficial for you in that you're able to see how seven practices can be practically used out in lives and in ministry. We have one more awesome interview today to kind of close out those seven practices.
Yes, final practice is one that we love to talk about, and that's helping young people live out their unique vocation. It's a practice that we have focused on for helping young people maybe live out their faith with the help of the Holy Spirit, putting that faith into action, maybe having some tangible ways that they reflect the love of Christ and be able to understand God's love for us. And we love to see youth living out their unique vocations as they learn how they are gifted and how they are called to serve others. They're really those everyday actions and those times and relationships as they grow and learn to share the love of Jesus with other people.
And we've talked quite a bit about vocation. We like talking about it quite a bit. If you go back and you can look at a number of podcasts where we talked about vocation and incorporating it and our theology of vocation into your youth ministry. In fact, if you go all the way back to episode 18, you can hear us talk to our guest today about his curriculum for teen, about following the 2019 youth gathering about vocation. So we're excited to dive back in with him 5 years later to gain more insight.
Well, joining us today is Reverend Dr. Mark Koshman, who serves as the Vice President of Faith and Ministry and Chief Mission Officer at Concordia University St. Paul. He serves on the executive leadership team and is responsible for assisting the university in maintaining a strong institutional mission and identity as a Christ-centered Lutheran university. In his role, he oversees CSP's ministry and church relations and serves as the chairperson for the Department of Theology and Ministry. Dr. Koshman assists his congregation as well, Jehovah Lutheran Church in St. Paul, Minnesota, as a pastor, liturgist, and Bible study teacher, and confirmation teacher as well. He and his wife, Dr. Kara Koshman, have three children.
Thanks for joining us.
Great. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today about one of my absolute favorite topics that I really enjoy teaching to students and then also at my congregation.
Yeah, we went back and looked and we had you talking about this curriculum that I still recommend for people. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes back. And so maybe if somebody has been listening since episode 18, they heard you answer some of these questions before. But in case we have some new listeners, tell us more about your vocations, your roles in youth ministry, and other things that bring you joy.
Yeah, thanks so much. Great question. Well, I think what's currently giving me a lot of joy right now is I truly love being a dad and some of the adventures that we are having as a family. So I just thought that's always a good place to start. I think initially my mind always goes to, what's your vocation? And even though I teach that your vocation is primarily your calling to Christ and to be a baptized child of God or a calling to your family, I often usually think, oh, my job first, right? And so I want to think about that. But I'm trying to be very intentional about really living into my calling as a dad. My brother and his family are coming to visit this weekend. And so I have a role as an uncle. I've got four nieces and nephews that I'm looking forward to spending a lot of time with. And then certainly with my wife and sister-in-law, I mean, just all of us together, I think that calling to be family is really important, that we have really unique roles to play. So those have been quite a bit of fun, including some adventures, hiking. And I also, a new thing since last time we interviewed is that my family has it's my wife's family, actually, they have a bog up in Marquette, Michigan. And so, which you're like, oh, you have a bog. Like, people have overlooked this for like 50 plus years. However, I found that it's like a family property that like my wife's grandma used when she was like 6 or 7 years old would go hunting for cranberries on this bog. And they're like natural cranberries. Actually, I even have in my office here a bit of this bog. Which is funny because people always think that my plant has died, but I'm like, no, like this is what it looks like because it's just kind of a bog. But they still have cranberries on this bog. So this last fall, I discovered this with my kids. We were out traipsing through the family bog and we found that there are cranberries there. And so that's a new I don't know if it's a calling. Have I been called to the bog? I'm not sure, but it's been wonderful. So that's been great. And then as I said at the beginning, you know, I truly do find, maybe as both I get older and in my work roles, find the stress and demands that this calling to be back to Christ each and every day, prayer has taken on a new meaning for me, and actually even lifting up just one passage of scripture. You know, I'll do regular Bible study and all the prep for class and for preaching, but I start the day with just one verse of scripture, and it's been very helpful just to reflect on one verse and to be kind of anchored in my sense of calling, in my baptism, as a beloved child of God. And that really does sustain me in, you know, my work vocations, which you already shared. But I think for me, it's really trying to be intentional about not just teaching this stuff, but actually living it out and leaning into those other vocations.
I have so many questions about cranberries and bogs, but I think we can't hang out there. That might be an off-podcast conversation.
One of the things we love to hear about from youth ministry leaders and leaders in our institutions around the Synod is about their junior and senior high school years. Can you share for us how Jesus used a key moment or moments or people to keep you or bring you closer to him or the church through those years?
Yeah, well, it's a youth gathering year, and I'm very excited actually to be speaking about this topic at the gathering. But it does remind me that a key event was, for me, my first youth gathering experience was 2001, New Orleans, and our entire youth group went, which was about, I don't know, there were like 35 of us, which felt like a really big group for our congregation. We were thrilled. I did not realize this at the time, but we were given special seating because we had a couple of members of our congregation, youth members, who had various mobility challenges. Two were in a wheelchair and one was on crutches. And I never realized that our congregation had like youth who had various, you know, physical disabilities. But we never thought twice of that until we showed up to the youth gathering, and then we got like these front row seats. But it really was a neat bonding experience to see how all of us came together for that gathering and to also really live out our vocations. Again, I think we're so performance oriented in our culture, and maybe it's even more so today than in the past, of, you know, your value is how much you can do. And I think what I experienced both with how the youth gathering went and then also how the youth leaders and lay leaders in our congregation led was that everyone was valued simply because they're a child of God and simply because they're a human person. And we got to know each other well and leaned on that versus our performance, you know. But so much of our lives, sports teams, school, music, theater, everything is so performance driven. Even social media, right? It's so performance and ratings and everything like that. So how can you create a space where people just feel valued for who they are? So I think the gathering has done that. My youth group certainly did that. And then we did have some very gifted Bible study leaders who I remember one, he commuted. I always thought that was so cool because he would commute to, I grew up in Chicago, and he took the train from the suburbs of Chicago downtown. And I just thought that was so amazing. But he would read his Bible. Like, he started his day by reading his Bible. And I thought, like, wow, like, this big deal businessman, you know, takes the train and, you know, he starts by reading the Bible that we were all reading together. It's the Today's Light Bible by Jane Fryer. Still excellent devotions. The law gospel pieces were so helpful. And that really shaped me and our youth group. But then he'd read the paper, you know. So I just, in my mind, like, that's just what, you know, you should do if you're a Chicago business person. In any case, but what was neat also was for the Bible study, we just dove in deep on the scriptures. And so there wasn't a lot of, we just used that Bible and had kind of a small group experience around the biblical text. And that was really, really great. And you'd expect that perhaps from your pastor, but for it from a business person. And we had another mom, a woman in the congregation who also had a pretty exciting career. And she also would take time to lead these Bible studies. And so it's just kind of neat. And I would recommend to our listeners just the real value that whether you're a professional church worker or a layperson, a mom or dad, whether you have a career or not a career, like bring those into these conversations. That's so, so, so valuable for thinking about vocation, but also sharing about your Christian faith.
Absolutely. So you talk so highly about, I love the work that you get to do. What do you love about working with young people? You work a lot with young adults, but also in your congregation with your parents and the youth there. What do you love about working with young people?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would say I like the conversation. I really love the curiosity and the word I was going to throw out there is I really love curling. I'll talk about that in just a moment. We're from Minnesota now. We live up in Minnesota, and curling is an exciting activity. This is actually, I said I'd talk about it in a moment, but I guess I want to talk about it right now. So this is actually a university pastor. He floods the backyard of his house, and we all go curling. This is Pastor Tom Gunderman, and
oh, yeah?
He's an amazing university pastor. And he floods the backyard, and then, like, what's great, though, is, I mean, it brings all these things together. We curl in the backyard, this kind of winter sport that's a big deal here. We have two students from Canada who are quite good at their curling.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's quite fun. But it brings out a certain, I guess, joy and fun. Like, I bring my family. I've got three kids, 7th grade, 5th grade, and 2nd grade. And they love being on our campus. And they love being with the students. And so I'd say do pick, you know, what's clever sometimes is to pick something unique like curling and make a big like festival of, I mean, it is truly a festival of curling activities and competition. And it's just, it's fun. And then you interact and kind of expand and grow from there. So I encourage everyone, like if you have a hobby or an interest or a passion, again, to our listeners, like one way of doing this is to kind of break out of the mold of just, instead of not just meeting on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or a Sunday evening, you know, plan a Sunday evening doing something that you love. Or if you love cooking something or doing a particular activity, or the other one that our youth church would do is a couple of guys. This is not me, but a couple of guys love to ice fish. And so there's an ice fish competition. Again, you know, we like being up in the north. And so we have a lot of examples here. But if you're a listener from the south, I'm sure there's exciting things you can do in hot and sunny places like Texas or, you know, wherever in the south, or St. Louis, you know. But so curling just as like a trigger word for everyone to be thinking about the fun part about working with young people, and then conversation. It's always about conversation about any aspect of life, listening. So it's engaging those conversations and listening to what young people want to share, and then helping to create a sense of curiosity. I think for us as leaders to be really interested in what our young people are interested in, so we should be curious about them, and to create in them a sense of curiosity about Christian faith, about the Bible, about vocations, and to really free them up to like ask questions. I mean, I love that. So conversation, curiosity, coaching would be things I love and things I'd recommend of like, here's how to just create a certain environment in your youth ministry, your confirmation class, your Sunday school, your college ministry that can be really enlivening for everybody involved.
Yeah. Fantastic. I don't think we have it cold enough here to curl, but that's
not quite.
So cool.
Yeah.
Well, you can come up and visit. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Some red gloves together. I love the fact of like probably bringing people together around that and having fun. That's fantastic. So we're going to change here a little bit and talk about the topic that we are so excited to discuss with you. I have, again, done this on an earlier podcast. Just this rich topic that can be great for people of all ages, but also is a wonderful way to connect with young people. Many of our youth leaders might not totally understand what that word vocation means from a maybe a theological perspective or just how it plays out in our everyday life. Can you maybe tell us what what vocation means for us as Lutherans and our theological understanding?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. So I usually begin by simply reminding or sharing with everybody that vocation comes from the Latin word vocatio, which means, you know, a call or summons. And I really try to invite people to think then what it means to be called to something. And sometimes I do this with a quick little survey. It gets people talking. I ask them to say which word resonates most with them. Is it purpose? Is it vocation? Is it calling? Or is it passion? And then I usually ask students or, again, members of my church, or actually I do this with faculty even when because we at Concordia University of St. Paul, you know, it's not just the theology department that talks about vocation. You know, it's integrated throughout our courses. And so the whole faculty will have this conversation, like, which word resonates with us? And it's fascinating to hear what people say. And I've even kind of noted a change over time. You can hear, like, the general public. I think vocation, they don't really know what to do with. But some of them who feel like it's the right religious answer will kind of say, hey, vocation. Calling is where I usually try to work them to land on, because I think that is very, very rich language. And I'll share more about that in a moment. I do think purpose and passion are the things that our society talks the most about. And so usually you get a lot of people voting for or kind of saying, like, you have all those words. The one that really matters or means a lot to me is my purpose or my passion. It's interesting. It used to be purpose. And then maybe last couple of years, passion seems to really, I didn't even ask passion as a question. And 1 year students made the case for why passion is the word that resonates with them more than the others. And so what I've helped, I believe generally help people see is how to move from my own passion or my own purpose, what I think I want to do, and my gifts and talents and those God-given things. I mean, it can be all very, very good and positive. Moving, though, from my passion and purpose to landing on a calling, which is when someone else is calling me to do this work and someone else is calling me or needs me to step up in a particular area. And, you know, at the grandest way, this is God calling us to a life of faith. And the grandest way, it's God calling us to live out our vocations. You know, when I'm working with young people, it could be as a friend, it could be as a son or as a daughter, a brother or a sister, as a cousin. As college students, it's also calling to as a student, you know, but they are then called by some other entity to live out their, you know, vocation, their service. We even talk about calling to witness. And so the study that I wrote and that you mentioned earlier, Juliana, is kind of, it is really based on these themes for calling and lays that out. I thought I'd give one quick quote because I think it captures well a good starting point for any of our listeners or even young people as they think about this question that really, I think you could do an easy Bible study on just this topic. And I would just say it shouldn't just be for young people. I think it'd be a great adult Bible study topic as well, or the whole congregation could do a day of like just talking about discerning your vocation. And the quote comes from a man named Frederick Buechner. And he says, the kind of work God usually calls you is the kind of work that A, you need most to do, and B, that the world most needs to have done. If you really get a kick out of your work, you've presumably met requirement A, that you've what you most want to do. But if your work is writing cigarette ads, he writes, the chances are you've missed requirement number two, which is that it's the what the world most needs to have done. On the other hand, if your work is being a doctor in a leper colony, you have probably met requirement B, like giving something that the world needs. But if most of the time you're bored and depressed by it, the chances are you've not only bypassed A, which is like what you need, but probably aren't helping your patients much either. Goes on to explain what that means, but just the sense of like, if you do something begrudgingly, you're out of a sense of duty and obligation, but there's no sense of joy to it. Mm-hmm. We tend to not really serve very well in those contexts. And then that's the bigger context. The quote that usually gets lifted up that's like fairly well known by him is, this is his setup to the line that I'll highlight here is, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And I do think that's a very helpful frame for thinking about vocation as Christians, as Lutherans. And I usually just set it up as like an activity of letting people reflect on what brings them joy, deep gladness, what is the world's deep hunger, and to see where that mix takes place. So it's usually a very rich conversation.
One thing from that study that I remember that I think there's a side of that too, about it can be a conversation to help maybe young people. They maybe don't understand the gladness of the place where they're serving, and to have a conversation about that, to open up their eyes to that part, to
for sure
increase their gladness around something that they don't recognize that way, to maybe help understand the meaning of their service and their connection with people. And I also too, I think this where vocation is so rich is that, you know, how do you have that conversation too around maybe those things that may pay the bills versus what are some ways maybe outside of that too, that God is using you into some unique places to serve, that by paying the bills, you're able to do that, and that can bring you joy in other ways. So there's kind of a lot of great conversations that can come out of that study of just that short little brief thing that you wrote, that can really great conversations that can take place.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think what the advantage of calling is that it also does call out, like, we do have responsibilities. And again, I can't not use the word calling, and a calling to serve or to do things that aren't always just for my own joy and gladness, right? And so how do you do that? Or, as you said so well, Mark, this sense of helping young people see the gladness of where they currently are at. Because actually, that's a brilliant insight, because oftentimes we, young people, I think, always live for the future.
Yep.
And I'm trying to always remind them, whether college or even my own kids, you know, second grade, fifth grade, seventh grade, of like, here's what you get to do right now. And here's how you can live out your calling, your vocation, all of these vocations right now. And I think that's a very rich opportunity.
I think I'd love to be able to tell young people how glad they make us just being with us. And like, sometimes they don't get that. Like, that's part of that great thing, that you're bringing us gladness, and hopefully that brings you gladness too. But sometimes I think we need to tell them that so that they understand the joy they bring to our lives.
Yeah, very, very well said.
So I love that quote. I love your city. And maybe that's one way to answer this question. But for people who are going, okay, how do I practically bring, I think, maybe vocation language or that vocation lens, or just conversations about vocation into my youth ministry? What are some practical ways you would suggest people think about doing that?
Yeah, excellent. Well, I do think having a conversation about this as a congregation can be really, really helpful. There was one time, sometimes I can't believe what I, well, this is what happens when the assistant pastor is leading the youth group. So I marched my youth over to the adult, but we kind of crashed the adult Bible study. I mean, the past night worked really, really well together, but I just said, like, the students had a question that they wanted to ask, like, the adults. And so we just came over and we just crashed the Bible study. And then we had like this talk about like what was on their mind. And it was a way to cut, and it was a risk, but it actually worked really well. And people really appreciated. Part of it was, adults don't always hear, because they may don't give their young people time to do this, hear the really brilliant insights and thoughts and reflections the young people have. So for me, I was like, we were having a really great conversation, and I wanted to take them to actually share what they're sharing with me, with both their parents and with the older members of our congregation. So I'm a big fan of opportunities, not every time, but of bringing people together around a topic, and for the older members of the congregation to actually reflect and think and listen to the young people. So I think that's pretty neat. So I'm very much about kind of integrating these pieces. Another idea that I found is really helpful is to invite young people back. So invite your college students back to your high school and like your high school youth group, and have them share about their college experience, their faith experience, and their vocational journey. I think that can be really enriching. And it's not just for the high schoolers. That is so affirming for the college students who oftentimes don't want to come back. They don't want to go back to the high school youth because they're now in college. But if they come back as someone who can share or present, man, like that's amazing. I also think involving lay professions. I shared this story earlier about how, like, our small group Bible study leaders, you know, my dad was the pastor, so he was very involved, and we had two lay ministers as well who were professional church workers. But we had a lot of volunteers and who were parents and who then had these other professions. And so I think it's great to bring in those, you know, have a panel of, actually just a couple years ago, we had an engineer speak about her, and she was the youth gathering, one of the chaperones, and she was an engineer or is an engineer, and did a really nice job talking about her faith and what it means to be an engineer, and her role as a mom and as a spouse. So I think those opportunities can be somewhat practical, of just getting the conversation started. And you don't, you know, a lot of this Bible study that I wrote, I mean, some of it's just activities of like, you know, here are a couple of questions, and here's like an opening comment or a quote, and let it happen, you know, go for it.
That's great. And I love the connection, like, that learning hands-on, like, very direct, and getting outside of just, you know, again, hearing maybe church work professions, but lay people who still see how that integration of faith and those daily duties, whether it's career or other things that happen, I think just adds to that depth for a young person to be able to attach to and be able to find those connections, which is great. Another time that we talk about kind of talking about vocation, maybe also figuring that out for young people, is that give them space in the church for service and leadership. How can maybe helping finding those roles at church help them better understand their vocations?
Yeah, I feel really strongly about this, of getting young people involved in all aspects of the church. And essentially my approach is, like, unless it's a role only for the ordained clergy, the pastor role, which is typically like preaching and institution of the Lord's Supper, and you know, elders and, you know, some other worship leading pieces, but really involving young people in the life of the church and the life of the worship service. And we have we worship in a lot of different congregations, a lot of different styles of Lutheran worship. Currently we're in a liturgical congregation, or a congregation that does the liturgy really, really well. And my kids are all very engaged with that, because they can acolyte, they can read, and they practice reading, and they do, my fifth grader does a beautiful job reading, and she loves it and she looks forward to it. And for me, that's really important, because she feels really special there. And people, and then some of the older members of the congregation, there was a person who was, retired, and came up to my daughter and said how much she really enjoyed whenever she reads in church, and how she's looking forward to her reading next time. Right. And like, that goes so far, right, for helping these young people feeling really connected. And I think, your study of this, the book and the study that the youth ministry office has put out, and that you guys have been reflecting on through this podcast series as well, I think has also emphasized the role of young people need faith formation, or faith mentors who aren't just their parents. They need several leads. And so the life of the congregation is a great starting point. It's a great starting point for that. So the more they can be involved, the better. We even have our kids, we give them food, but the kids can sit in on, it's so funny, but I think it's just what you model. They sit in on the church voters meetings. I can't believe I'm saying that we do this, because it is kind of ridiculous, but we eat together. And we start the meeting while we're eating. And this holds everybody's attention, not just the kids' attention. Because, like, these meetings can get a little bit, long or laborious. So the meeting starts while we're all eating. And the kids are there. And then usually then, the kids will wrap up and go to Sunday school or confirmation or Bible study. But we start together. And I think that is really a key way to involve them, so they kind of know what the work looks like at the church.
Yeah, and being able to, we talk about that being super valuable. It helps them to know, have a level of ownership, lets them know that they're valued, their thoughts are valued, that, like, this is not just something that's exclusive for parents and grandparents. Like, it's something that they can be a part of right away, which is so, so important. Kind of thinking about vocation maybe outside of the church a little bit, and knowing how challenging the world can be to young Christians who are in schools and work settings and sports settings that maybe would challenge their faith. As youth go out into the world, how might that theology of vocation help them to face challenges and struggles that they're going to experience as young Christians in our broken world?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking this question. And I think, again, this is why the language of calling is so helpful, even over and against purpose or passion, is that calling reminds you that that God and even other people are both recognizing the work that you do, validating the work that you do, and that there's a need beyond yourself. So those days that are really tough, I work with our physical therapy it's a graduate level program, doctor in physical therapy students, and I do a 5-part series on vocation with them. And, we talk about, like, all right, there's some days, right now they're all passionate and thrilled about being physical therapists, but there could be a time, like, they'll have a really rough day at work, and, what's going to help them remain motivated? Well, if you have a sense of calling, if you have a sense of vocation, then it's like, oh, no, I show up because, like, these patients really are benefiting from what I'm doing, or I'm part of a team. And I also try to build up for them the value of sharing this then with their work setting. Because if you're, I realize not every work situation is like this, but we definitely have this at Concordia University of St. Paul in our department. And I think a lot of ministry settings have this. And I think work, I have a friend at 3M, which is big company here in Minnesota. So he's an engineer for 3M, and his team, like, they have a sense of vocation in their actual work group. And so I think that by talking about it that way helps them really feel called for, like, hey, when a project doesn't go well, when there's budget cuts, when there's just stress, when someone's dealing with something personally, that this language of vocation and calling really helps anchor you, helps build you with a closer team, and does really foster a sense of resilience. And so I think there's a real benefit to using that language of calling. Passion and purpose get you a good, get you pretty far, right? And again, my buddy, who's at 3M, I mean, he could talk about adhesives, and I mean, he loves glue and adhesives, and I mean, you know, but there's still days when, no, actually it's like, my team needs me to come through on this project, And I think calling gets that. And then if you take it to the highest level, right, of here's how God has put you in this family, in this career, in this work environment, in this school, on this sports team, like, I mean, all the different ways in which young people or older people or every age, right, is called into different groups, that this is where God has called you to serve, to care, and to witness to God's love. And I think that's really a pretty beautiful thing and gives a deeper sense of meaning, which we can have another conversation about, right, is I think there's a lot of people in our society that really do struggle with a loss of meaning.
Yep.
They're feeling lonely, or they're feeling like their work doesn't matter. They feel like things don't count. And vocation is a constant reminder of that, both by the immediate sphere around you, the people who you interact with, and then in a really deep theological way, how God has so structured the world that we need each other, and we certainly lean on God. And that is what gives us this deep sense of calling. And the best sense of purpose is because it's anchored in Jesus Christ.
As someone who used Post-its literally every day, I appreciate the vocation. Your friend has it 3M.
That's awesome. Yep.
Tell them it helps us get work
done. We're the world's great.
Okay. Yep. Exactly.
That makes a difference.
And actually, on that note, I will also say that, one thing that I found interesting, because I've been teaching on this for, I've been at CSP for 10 years. So I've been teaching on vocation since day one. And I was a pastor for 4 years prior to that. And vocation is a part of my work there. But experiencing the pandemic and talking about the essential and kind of hearing our society value and recognize essential workers as like people who deliver the mail and their grocery workers. We had so many, I didn't even realize, one member of my church, he also works for 3M. He's a supply chain manager. And I don't think, he's an elder. I knew him as an elder. He's a great dad. He's a good friend. But I had no idea he was a supply chain manager. But then during COVID, all of a sudden, like, his role was very, very important.
Right.
And dealing with all sorts of stuff. And so I think what was, one of the benefits of reflecting on the whole pandemic and reflecting on like essential workers is that it did lift up other professions that we maybe don't initially think are service oriented, but it actually really, really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Part of what we talk about in Living Out Unique Vocations is that for some students, we want them to consider one of the many church work professions. If you think a student is gifted for church work, what might be some specific things you would do to encourage them?
They should come to CSP.
I was going to say, and you're going to start telling them to come to CSP.
Or any of the Concordias. Absolutely. We all have friends and professional contacts and graduate, we're all connected in the Concordias and all the institution. But really, I think, certainly as someone who works at Concordia St. Paul, we have very much committed ourselves to trying to make church work program is both affordable and to really bolster them. And the other Concordias are doing the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And that's excellent. We are saying the phrase that I like to use and that others use is that a rising tide raises all ships, right? I mean, the sense that like, if we're able to get more energy behind church work professions, all of us are going to be raised up, right? As far as like, there's going to be more coming. So I think that there's a real value in emphasizing this to the church body. Specifically, what this looks like in a congregational setting, I think it's great when parents can encourage, well, some of it depends, I suppose. If you're a church worker as a parent, you're going to want other people other than you to identify this in your kids,
yes.
that they really have a gift for ministry. So, I think that there's a certain element that has to be carefully thought through as those of us who are professional, pastors and professional church workers. But I think for if that's not in your experience, I think it's also valuable for, let's say it's not in your family's it's not your parents' career, it's not your career. If you're one of our listeners that's a lay leader and you have a different profession, but that you also could encourage your own kids to pursue and think about church work. I mean, I think sometimes we have this sense of like, almost like the military families are military families and mm-hmm. church work families are church work families, mm-hmm. right? I think we could try to break that down a little bit. And I think we do, many of us do, but I think there's value of just saying, hey, let's just explore what this looks like. To be a pastor, to be a DCE, to be a teacher at a Lutheran school. Super, super important for all those vocations and all the different types of church professions that we have. Or even, sometimes students, when they think about their love for media or even, influencers on social media are a big deal right now. How could someone who has those gifts and interests think about using that in service to the church? Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe not exactly like a church work profession, but I think it definitely should be a part of the conversation of helping young people see that their interests and gifts can all be used to align to serve the church more broadly. I think I'd probably land by just continuing to emphasize the value of the conversation and creating a sense of curiosity. And of recognizing how God is going to use and guide the church and all of us in the church to fulfill his purposes. He's the one who's doing the calling. He's the caller. He's calling us to serve, to witness, and to live and grow in him.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your insights about vocation for our listeners. We really appreciate all that you do at CSP and for the church.
Likewise. Thank you both so very much and for all that you're doing to lift these important topics up to our church body and to all of your listeners. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bert.
I can remember pretty vividly being in a congregation working with young people as they're making some like really key decisions, especially in high school where they're thinking about, or even before that, what high school they want to go to, what mm-hmm. kind of extracurriculars they want to be focusing their time on, where they want to go to college and what they might pursue professionally hey, are they going to go to the military? Are they going to go into some kind of work? And the kind of stress,
right?
Anxiousness. And I think that's only grown over time, this pressure we have for young people to make decisions. And I love that, as we talked about here, that theology of vocation really does boil down to these places where, like, where has God uniquely gifted you and what are the needs of the world? And in those spaces of overlap, that is where, you have this opportunity to live out who you are as a baptized child of God and use the gifts that God's given you to do any number of things. And there's just one right answer.
Right.
But there are some clear answers that you can take to help you kind of center that decision-making process.
Yeah, and I think I love about our teaching on vocation, too, is about how it's so focused on relationships, too. So, like, it is, yes, the career and big picture things, too, but it's the small ideas, too, of understanding your role as a child and maybe as a future parent or whatever it might be, that they're so strongly tied about how God works through you, through your vocation. And so just those powerful things already give purpose to life for young people in their everyday life, but then also be looking at those key relationships as they move forward, as those will change post-high school. That God doesn't change and God is with us through those and continues to give us those vocations to serve in the different phases of life. And that's, I think, another great thing about teaching a vocation is that every phase of life, you can have those conversations from the youngest to the oldest in our churches and in our families to be able to say there's a purpose God has given to you in many different ways that he works through you and how you're using your gifts and your abilities.
Yeah, I love that. The story of that. The youth leader who's in Chicago, certainly I know we had a youth leader like that who worked in downtown Chicago would talk about how his faith impacted the things he was doing as an engineer. Mm-hmm. And that was a great example for young people, right. But also was a good reminder for him as he told that about, you know, the value that his gifts and skills bring to the body of Christ as he travels on the L, mm-hmm. as he walks mm-hmm. to the office, mm-hmm. as he's in the office, and the ways that he's able to share the gospel in big ways and small ways in that. And as you grow up, right, then you have an opportunity to do that for this next round of young people as they and model for them what that looks like.
Yeah, I think young people see in their lives, and maybe things will change. We don't know, but like how, you know, generally probably people aren't naturally maybe coming to the church building who are not Christians and don't have that relationship there. Right. And it's going to start by someone riding the L or at a coffee shop or something, to where they're going to ask questions maybe and start to have those conversations and build relationships. And I think our young people are aware of that in their everyday life. And so it just prepares them for a life of that, to be able to, again, share God's word, show the love of Christ in relationship with people. And vocation allows such a great way to talk about that and to encourage them to do it as well.
Yeah, and such a powerful reason why that relationship with supportive adults can be mm-hmm. so good too. So a couple of closing questions for you to consider. How do you help young people think about their gifts and how they are using them to the service of God?
How can teaching vocation help young people understand the value of relationships in their daily lives?
And then finally, how are you encouraging adults who have various vocations to talk to youth about how they live out their vocational roles every day? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you live out your many vocations and as you help youth to understand the unique vocations God has given them.
End Goals Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. To find links mentioned in the episode or more about LCMS Youth Ministry, go to kfuo.org/youthministry. And find resources for youth ministry at youthesource.com. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.